Hey gang out there, this episode of Brothering Around is brought to you by Audible.com, where you can choose between 180,000 audiobook titles that plays on your Kindle, your iPod, your phone, anything that can listen to Brothering Around. You get your audiobooks on there from Audible. Check out audibletrial.com/brotheringaround for a free 30-day trial. And guess what? You get a free book on the house from your boys here at Brothering Around. Tell them that we sent you. Tell them that Marco and Wes from Brothering Around sent you. They're not going to know who you're talking about. But you know what? You still get your free book. It's good times. Audibletrial.com/brotheringaround. Go get it today. Oh, back at it again. That's right. Episode 14, right?
14, yeah.
14, yeah, because we got the 13 with Todd. That's how I remembered it, because Friday the 13th.
We got the 13, and then it's the 14.
Oh, it's about with the pudding and the...
And I go to jail.
Oh, rape allegations, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
My Bill Cosby just turns into, like... just a buffering, like turns into like a weird high pitched Arnold Schwarzenegger thing.
That was his motorboat. That was his motorboat for sure. Unintentionally.
So, before we get into our impressions that we're gonna do like this entire episode, by the way,
before we hit the record button.
But yeah, before we're officially going, right? I'm Wes Gardner, Mr. Comedy to Hobo. That is Marco Flores, Mr. Nerd in the Bay.
Yes, sir.
And last week, amazing episode. If you haven't heard it yet, I highly suggest it. We had our boy Todd, EVF.
Mm-hmm.
Great show. Awesome stuff. Love that guy. Great guest. And I was editing stuff. I put the podcast up. It went up on iTunes and everything. But for some reason, the YouTube just wasn't doing the thing. You know, I was like, okay, this should be up. I should have the link. Normally, I wait overnight to let it upload to YouTube. Then whenever I get to work first thing in the morning, I just log in, edit the website at work, and then we're good to go.
Boom, right?
Yeah, it's just done. It's a done deal. We got it down to a science now. Mm. So I get there, and the YouTube stuff's still not uploaded. Like, what the hell is going on? So I come home from like for lunch from work, and I look, and it said it was only like 60% uploaded. So I went on Twitter and I was like, yeah, it looks like internet stuff is bad. Sorry. Like, it'll be up later. I don't know what's going on. I didn't have enough time to really look into it. You know, I had to get back to work. Went back to work, came back home, realized that my dumbass kept the recording settings from doing my Game of the Year video. So our 2 hour and 5 minute podcast was like 135 gigabytes.
Oh man.
It was enormous. I'll tell you this.
Oh man.
Beautiful clarity. If you go see it on YouTube, just picture crystal 4K perfect. Like, oh my God. It's
4K quality sound.
Delicious. Yeah. But fucking outrageous. 100 and something gigs. That's like if I installed Doom 4 times.
Yeah, right.
Ridiculous.
I bet you that guy that downloads the YouTube clips was super pissed.
Oh yeah, he looks at me, he's like, what?
So what the fuck?
This guy did a tenth of a terabyte? Like, what's he doing?
Bro, what's in this movie? Why is this file so big, bro?
Bro, I was looking at the size of your file, bro, and I gotta tell you,
bro.
Me being Vince Russo, I gotta tell you.
Vince Russo don't like this, bro.
I was talking with Ric Flair in the back.
In Google Hangouts. And I heard bad news about that now.
That Google
bro,
Hangouts.
What's going on?
I don't know. I tried to log in. It wouldn't take my login, bro.
Oh, man.
We're going to get so much heat on this from all this shit.
Yeah.
Someone's going to listen and forward it along and be like, Vince, if you heard this shit, just fucking idiots.
And then we're going to have to block Vince Russo.
Right when we're going to start. Oh, God, if he shoots on us, that'd be amazing. That's how we know we made it.
the whole Cornette Young Bucks.
Yes. Or we get Jimmy Hart
yeah.
saying something.
All right, baby, let's go, baby. Stay on him.
Stay on him.
He would always say, Hulkster. I'll talk to the Hulkster, baby. We get it going.
Oh, dude.
Just terrible. Like, that's what makes the impression so great is they're tragically bad. Like, they're not anywhere near what the person actually sounds like.
I am not trying to be good at impression.
Oh, God, no. That is a skill set that is lost on me forever. Like, no.
Yeah.
Dusty Rhodes, I luck out at sometimes, but then.
Yeah. For sure.
About it. But yeah, we have to bring back our original character. We talked about this. Someone we invented. Okay, so we invented this character. I know the most prominent episode of Power Hour that this is prominent in is Splinter Cell. We did probably a 45-minute bit about Marvin.
Was that the debut of Marvin?
I think we had done the voice before.
But
we kind of maybe gave it a name. I think it was during like one of the previous episodes before Splinter Cell. Like we did the voice and it cracked us both up.
And Marvin was doing like Sunday Night Heat before he debuted on Raw.
Right, he was coming up in developmental, but he was being workshopped a little.
He was doing Velocity,
but his big premiere was in the Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow Power Hour that we did.
Right,
and basically. For those that don't know who Marvin is, he's like a 1920s, like Bugs Bunny-esque mafia character. Yeah, see? Yeah. Marvin. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing.
You'll have your comeuppance.
Yeah, your comeuppance. You keep just whistling Dixie like that, and you'll get a fist up right in the nose there, see?
You got me there. You triggered me just now.
It's triggered.
Oh, dude.
It's Marvin. It works so well because, like, but the thing is, now I have to do research on what they would actually say back in the 1910s and 20s because you don't want to start mixing up, like,
yeah.
He's not going to say like cowabunga or something.
You don't
want to
mix up your timelines and stuff.
Yeah, right. You got to keep it. It's funnier if it's more consistent.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, man, Marvin.
Oh, man.
I don't even know why. Like, what brought Marvin about? I don't know.
This is kind of, kind of delves into our weeks. But like lately I've been watching all the old Power Hours with me and you in them. Like from the beginning, and I'm not there yet, but like, I had no idea what even brought that up. I really have no idea. I don't know. It feels like it's so long ago.
It really does. Yeah. I was thinking about that. I was like, when did I make my big dramatic comeback stream? And I looked, and it was January 6th, 2016.
That doesn't seem like that long ago, but it feels like 10 years or something like that.
Yeah, it feels like forever.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just so bizarre. But okay, so you're watching old Power Hours. Like, which one have you gotten to?
I started at, I believe, episode 5, which was DCUO. Mm-hmm. I think that was a longer episode than usual. So, like, I guess we were talking about, you know, what to do in DCUO and all the things that you can do. And I think, like, where I was most recently at was we were playing around with our hideouts. Like, oh, yeah, we could pick our addresses. Oh, right. And then, you know, put our equipment and whatever, or you know, put our furniture and stuff. So that's where I'm currently at. But, I'm going to basically work my way through them. And just now, as I was, you know, we were getting ready to record, I started watching the Bouncer Let's Play.
Yeah.
I just started it just before we started recording. And I got to say, the introduction was super, like, introduction, like, super clean and stuff. It's not like it's, it's like, yo, like, yo, what the fuck? It's me and Wes, and you know, fuck that guy. It's me, Worko, and we're just going at it right away. It's right. Like, hey guys, it's Wes Gardner from callmethehobo.com and Marco from Nerd in the Bay, and this is what we do. And I was like, wow, we were super professional.
Yeah, we were on point right then.
Right?
Like how young and naive we were.
And, right, young and green and stuff.
Yeah, what is it, the young grizzled vets?
Yeah, now a young grizzled vet.
We're now a young grizzled vet.
Oh, man. So if we ever do another LP, I mean, you're probably going to hear what I just said. Rah, 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 rah. Nah, 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 nah. Dude.
Right. It's just going to break apart. But, hey, that's the beauty of it, man. And, oh, yeah, I was thinking, I was like, we need to find a time to do another actual Power Hour and just surprise the hell out of people. Like, not even hype it up. Man. Just do it blind. We know it's about to happen. We know like a week out or so, but then it'll be normal whatever time. And they're like, oh, guess what? Live Power Hour, be there. And then people are like, oh, shit.
Like, wait, what? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just hit it out of nowhere, you know?
Yeah. So I've been doing that. I've been just kind of reminiscing about like what the stuff that we did with Power Hour and then now the Bouncer Let's Play, going through that. I finished. What did I do? Okay, so I finally finished Dead Island. I've been chipping away slowly at that game because I'm only playing a single player, and geez, that is a co-op game. If I ever saw one, like
it would reward that a lot.
Yeah, so that is meant to be a four-player game, like not meant to play by yourself. So I see that now, going from start to finish. And I was playing it with Sam B, the rapper in that group. Because that's funny as hell that a rapper in a resort island in a zombie apocalypse is trying to survive and then trying to figure out, like, why is there zombies here? So I'm Sam B. Who do you voodoo, bitch? Type thing. So, so I slowly chipped that away and I'm finally done with that. I'm like, man, that's a long ass game because I did start to finish. I did all the side quests and all that stuff. And, like, I didn't give a fuck about the story. The story was just not there.
Thing about that game was mixing, like crafting, like putting nails on a board and that type of stuff.
That was the plus of that game is like you customize your weapons. You can make like electricity hammer. So you basically make like a Thor hammer type of thing. Like fire blades and stuff. And that just, made killing zombies easier. But, playing a single player mode, it was a pretty little bit of a drag, but it was kind of like that. Oh man, I just want to just beat up monsters, beat up mindless things type of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, finished that game. Like didn't care anything about the story. It was weird anyway. And then I was like, so what's my next game? I need to play something like this more quick. Like I could just cut through like maybe in like less time than I did with Dead Island.
Yeah.
So. My wife back in the day bought me Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, and I never traded it for anything else because the wife bought you a game. Like, oh, sure, no, you keep that.
It's keepsake.
Yeah. It's like sentimental value for me.
Yeah.
So I started playing that. And just to go through the campaign and I was like, I wonder if there's anybody playing online. There was 50 people still playing online of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Modern Warfare 3, PS3 version. I mean, I don't think it was a PS4 version, but PS3, I was like, what the hell? You guys are still, you know how many games there are, like, moving forward, right? Because you guys are Infinite Warfare. We're like, how many games back? And you guys are still playing. You guys are still chugging along. But I was like, yeah, sure, okay.
Yeah.
So I bet, like, once I finished with the campaign mode of Modern Warfare 3, that I'm going to try to see if I can do some damage on multiplayer on the PS3.
God bless. Because here's the thing. Those are the guys that they found out that that's their game.
Yeah.
So, like, you're about to go in there with, like, 50 versions of Fatality.
You came into the wrong hood, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, these are esports professionals.
Yeah.
Like, fucking... the Czech Republic and like all they're gonna do, that's all that they have a gaming house just dedicated to Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah,
PS3.
Totally. Yeah,
well,
they're ready for that next side tournament.
Exactly. They're hoping to get the call up.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, one of these days, they're going to remember how good this game was on PS3.
Modern Warfare 3 is.
We'll be ready.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, I'm playing through the campaign. I was like, oh, yeah, soap. Oh, yeah, fuck Makarov and all that stuff. Right. No rushing and all that. Yeah. I was like, I remember this stuff. Yeah. Okay. Anyways. Yeah. So I'm playing, I'm going through that because I think on Twitter I said that one of my New Year's resolutions this year, at least, is to actually go through and play and try to finish as much of my backlog as I have possible.
That's good. Yeah.
So, just so I can, because I don't want to get I don't want to get a PS4 and then start getting a library of games for PS4. Mm-hmm. Yet I still have all these other games. It's kind of a waste because I was buying them super actively, but now I don't want them just to collect dust. You know.
That's fair.
Playing that, and then watching Netflix stuff, watching this new anime that I guess caught my eye called Koro Makoro. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. I didn't have any. I mean, I read the title introduction of it. I was like, oh, okay, that might be interesting. So I checked it out. Basically, it's about this high school girl. It's like, of course, it starts with a high school girl. starts with a high school girl. Wants to be an aspiring whatever, or her deal is she's not motivated enough to be aspiring to anything. I think she eventually says that I want to fly to Mars or something because whatever. So they go to this future tech school type thing, but it's in the present. It just there's mechs walking around because they built robot mechs and stuff like that. They go to this kind of future tech school in the present. And her mom is a famous lab scientist type of person, but doesn't have time for the family. So that's where not aggression, but
tension, drama.
Tension is there. Basically these aliens basically show up and start attacking, the area, and they're wondering why. And for whatever reason, they find these artifacts before everything started happening. They find these artifacts. And he's like, they couldn't figure out what's happening until the main character, of course, touches the box and out opens a naked samurai. I was like, from the past, from the Warring States era? Why is a naked samurai coming out of a future box? This doesn't make any sense. But anyways, as I keep watching, it's half slice of life because they're in high school. It's half shonen action because it's a samurai in the present time, and they have mechs and it's sword battles and robot battles and all that stuff. It's this weird combination of everything, it's actually pretty funny because a lot of the characters or some of the characters are more humorous than others. The main one is I can't decide if I want to. Be spoiler alert, she becomes the samurai's co-pilot of the robot that the aliens are trying to get.
Right.
The mech. Yeah. So they're she's dealing with stuff because I'm in high school and I don't like killing, but I'm chosen for this co-pilot stuff because I don't know. And the samurai is just fucking do your duty.
Thanks, Nick, samurai.
Kill the enemies and stuff. But anyways, I don't even know if I can recommend this to you because there's a lot going on.
Right. Does it do well enough? Because if it's juggling three things, if it's a slice of life thing, if it's a mech thing, and then it's a time travel thing, does it at least handle all three evenly, or is it just kind of all over the place?
It's some episodes. Okay. I feel like some episodes excel more either at the action or more at the slice of life than others. Mm-hmm. But I want to say the entire season, that there's two seasons, they mix everything in one episode each for every episode. Like it's you'll see a little bit of their slice of life of high school. Like I think the last episode I was watching, like they had a high school festival and like they wanna you know make the best type of high school festival that they have because they are dealing with all these invaders attacking the area that they live in all the time. So they want to have like a little bit of like normalcy or something like that. So yeah, they had this festival and they had like, oh yeah, we're going to talk about why the aliens are here. Cause the samurai goes to our high school. Cause he's actually our age. Funny enough. So yeah, like it's funny that, yeah, the samurai is trying to get adjusted to this time period. And then, yeah, it's all over the place, and like I'm like, sure, I think I like it enough, but I don't even think I can recommend this to you because
it's just like
too much. There's too much, man. I don't want to like overload you with stuff.
Right,
it feels so too much.
We'll keep on that kind of tangent for whenever we get to Todd's question, because I bet that fits the bill pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. So that's me, man. But did you have a week of anything?
Yeah. So the two big things, number one thing is kind of did some structuring around stuff on comedyhobo.com.
Okay. Yep.
And yeah, the reason why is all the game of the year stuff's done. It's done. It's a wrap.
Yeah. Awesome.
That game of the year video's up. That took a long time to do.
Not bad, man.
It was all fancy graphics and it was weird because, and this is like insider baseball stuff, but like, beforehand, whenever we did the bouncer let's play, we had kind of an automated system to lower the volume of, well, in post-production, basically we would lower the volume of, the video game noise. And then we would raise the volume of our voices. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of an automated deal. I would pick which clip was the background, which clip was the foreground. And then I think they call it ducking, like sound ducking. Okay. So it was a program that did automatic sound ducking. So we didn't really have to worry about it. So turnaround on those Let's Play episodes was super quick because all we had to do was export it. I think we had the entire thing live. I think we released one or two a week, but the whole thing was done and edited and ready to go like 2 days after we filmed it, essentially.
Yeah, totally.
So it was done. But with this one, all of that sound work was done by hand. So in the top five games of 2016, I didn't have that same program anymore. I'm using something a little bit more in depth, but you can see because of the transitions and like some of the stuff I did. So all of the effects that you see, I did by hand. So I went in and made stuff in After Effects. I went in and made different like Gaussian blur and black and white and all that stuff. Everything you see was manually done. So I was like, if I'm going to go back in there, I'm going to go in swinging. It's 11 minutes and 11 minutes of video, all hand edited, takes for fucking ever. Oh my God. Cause I had been recording footage for Game of the Year since like March.
Okay.
So this was like a year long burn of, I had close to a terabyte of footage on my hard drive. Just hanging out, just knowing that I think this game might be on the list, but maybe not, but maybe so. That type of stuff. The only one that didn't come out exactly the way I wanted on that Game of the Year video was Doom. It turned out a little blurry because I tried to mess a little bit with the color settings, but all the other ones look like picture perfect the way it looked when I played them. So even with the YouTube buffering and the stuff like that, it still looks like, I'm real proud with how it looks. So I was like, okay, if I'm only making like one or two YouTube videos a year now, they better be worth a year long wait, you know?
Right.
That's
right.
Kind of what my mindset going in. But yeah, it's up, the full top five list of, I actually got some heat about, the games I missed article about, about Overwatch. Yeah. 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 Got a little bit of heat on that one. Cause I basically said that Overwatch was going away from the things I liked about Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's a little
statement before.
Yeah, and like I don't know. Like I think in the article I said it was like Metallica's Black Album. Because that's the album where they did Inner Sandman. You know, that like that off to Neverland, like that whole song.
Yeah,
that was their biggest hit by far and away forever and ever, made them billionaires. The thing is, like, the quote-unquote metalheads listen to, you know, Kill 'Em All, and Justice for All, like all these early Metallica albums. And then once the Black Album came out, all of that other stuff was completely forgotten. Like Ride the Lightning, all that stuff. Like, no one cared anymore. Because it was like, Black Album is the new shit. This is now Metallica. This is it. I think Overwatch is going to be that for Blizzard. I think Blizzard is going to... I think Blizzard might struggle with the success of Overwatch. Because I think it's going to be their next World of Warcraft, but in a much different way. Because World of Warcraft didn't need that much balancing. It's always been unbalanced, and that's kind of the point of it. But with a competitive esports-focused prize money on the line shooter, like, they need to have it under lock, stock, and barrel all the time. It's a different dynamic, and I'm not sure I'm a big fan of it. The game itself is fine. I played about 20 hours of the beta before the game came out, and I liked it. Well, I mean, we played it on stream, and people yelled at me because I was bad at it. So that's kind of how that worked. But, like, I had fun. Like, the game itself, there's nothing really wrong with the game. If you're looking for a game like a Team Fortress or something, Overwatch is the one to go with. You're going to have a blast. Like, it's fun. I just don't think it's my cup of tea. And it's one of those weird things that, like, I don't like being the, oh, you're the old grumpy old man. And things are changing and you got to suck it up, old man. Like, that's sort of how it feels a little bit, because I'm like, back in my day when we played Diablo 1 and 2, you know, but, and that's just, I guess that's not fair on the game. And I agreed with people that said that to me. They're like, no, why are you taking it out on the game? That's just your opinion, whatever. And I was like, yeah, it's also my fucking blog. So I, like, name on that fucking site, it's commiedelbow.com, last time I checked. That's sort of what you come for, you know, but,
question for you. Cause you were talking about, balance patching and stuff. Which do you prefer? Balance patching, like on the fly, like it's every month, like they balance, or, yearly balances, or half a year, like, you know, every 6 month balances.
Yeah, I guess it would be dependent on the game style, but primarily I would say wait. Like, because if you're doing a patch every other week, your next week's patch is going to be a patch to fix what the other patch broke, or what, you know what I mean? Like, you set a really dangerous precedent for yourself. But like, if it's full on balance patches, you have to have people time. This kind of goes into a whole metagame thing, but I think that people are not patient enough.
I agree.
Like, and you probably see this in Street Fighter shit all the time. People come out of the
woodwork. That's why I'm asking. Yep.
Yeah, I lost to Ryu. They need to nerf Ryu. Yeah. It's like, no, learn how to fucking play better.
Learn
like,
the match. Matchup.
Learn what he's good at, learn what he's bad at, and counter it. Like, you have to take responsibility for getting better at this thing. No, nerf him. I lost twice. Yeah. see, you gotta nerf that Akuma, see?
I don't care for that main, see.
I didn't like the cut of his jib, see? He came at me incorrect.
Me and my Tommy gun have something to say about his sideburns.
Yeah, I'm gonna get the boys. We're gonna meet him out back, see? We'll give him a thing or two. We'll give him a nice shiner under his right eye.
Oh man, yeah, like, I'm a yearly balance person myself too, because I totally agree. You got to give time to have for people to learn what the matchups are, whether it's like Street Fighter or Overwatch, because Overwatch is like that kind of style of game too. So, you know, because I guess because with Overwatch there's team synergy, right? I don't know the characters, but like I guess like whatever Reinhardt is, I guess is a tank.
And yeah, yes, you, yeah.
type of thing. And then like you need your healer, you need your teleporter, you need to have those units synced up. So like there's good combinations of how to like play the team. So like people need to learn those matchups, I strongly believe. But like with MK, Mortal Kombat, as far as I know, Mortal Kombat is the only game I know, or only fighting game I know, that has like balance patch like very frequently, so nobody has no idea how like the game at its, I guess, its top like, you know, top level play mm-hmm. looks like, because it's always changing.
Can you imagine that for like any other type of sport? Like, no. Imagine if they changed the dimensions on a basketball court every other game.
Or football game. Yeah, exactly. On actual sports.
Yeah. Like, right? Can you fathom that? Like, that's ridiculous. You can't keep up if you're constantly changing the rules. And that's exactly what these patches and nerfs and all that stuff are doing. Is like people are getting so used to, oh, I'm going to wait for the patch. I'm going to wait for the patch. Mm-hmm. Or you could learn mm-hmm. to get better and the patch not mean anything. Like,
right.
I've never got, and that's the whole deal. Like, that was so frustrating though about learning competitive games. And that's where I really hit that hard hurdle with StarCraft is I knew the shit that was going wrong was all my fault. There was no one else to blame.
Yeah.
And that's discouraging. Like, after you lose so many times, you just think, okay, I'm not very good at this. Like, but mm-hmm. you have to get through that part. You get through that part. And whether it's like learning Street Fighter character, like you're going to go online and get your ass whooped.
Yeah, that is while you're learning. You're going to have to be okay with that.
Yeah, that's part of it. You got to fail to get better. And just there's the way esports like does their patches and hot fixes and stuff. It's almost like they're rewarding bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Just let people figure it out. Like just sit back, and then, you know, of course, the 10-year-olds on Reddit are going to cry. Well, I can't win. Why can't I play God mode? Oh.
Jeez.
That's part of it. You gotta suck it up. Like, just kind of mm-hmm. learn the strategies. Now, some stuff's just outrageous, and I think that stuff should be hot-fixed immediately.
Oh, yeah, game-breaking stuff or, like,
for sure.
Like Super Turbo Akuma was banned because he was too good. Yeah. So like, I totally agree.
And I'm okay. And on that same token, like I'll ask you this flip side of it. When you get patches, like overall, and let's just say, okay, Street Fighter V, would you rather mm-hmm. characters get nerfed or other characters get buffed?
For characters to get nerfed, they would have to be too strong, right?
Right.
I would rather have characters get buffed.
Same here. Yeah.
That's what they need with Street Fighter, any of these competitive games, there's tier lists, right?
Right.
Players can and cannot, or like they choose if they want to go with the tier list or go with the character they either like playing, but they may not be high on the tier list. So they just have to make it work with what they are given, right?
Yes.
So I prefer characters to have buffs because that's what they need to even that playing field. If you nerf them all the time, then like the damage is not going to be enough. The game is going to play way too long, and then you're going to have like a cross Tekken situation.
Yes,
where
yeah.
People are timing out just to get the win, where it's beat your opponent to end their life bar, and then that's what we'll know that who's the winner, right?
Yeah,
I totally believe it's like buffs.
I agree with that. Because the way I see it, the way you should feel is that every other character other than you is stronger than you are.
Right.
Because no matter who you ask, so like if your main, let's say, is Ken, and mm-hmm. my main is Ryu,
mm-hmm.
if we both think the other person is stronger by nature, like, oh, well, of course you would win. You're playing Ken. And then you're like, screw you. Like, you're playing Ryu. He's easy mode. That, in my opinion, is balance.
To win. Yeah.
But that's balance. If everybody's pissed off, great. Mm-hmm. Like, that's to me, that makes sense. It's like, of course you would think the other person is too good, but they also think that you're too good. Like, there has to be this level of everybody's equally broken. And, you know, it doesn't have to play out like rock, paper, scissors or like a game of chess or, you know, I think the mistake is people want things to be perfectly symmetrical. And that's that shit's dry. Like, if everything was exactly the same, then what's the stakes? What are the stakes? Where's your underdog story? If everyone has a punch that's worth 10 hit points, what's the fun in that? Like, give me a guy that has a punch worth 20 hit points, but it takes twice as long to throw. You see what I'm saying? So it still equals 10 per hit. Or give me someone that hits for 5, but he punches you 4 times. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so all the numbers equal out, but the way you get there is different, because that's where you start playing with strategy.
And that's when you start counting frames and all that.
Yes,
that's,
right.
That's a whole nother level.
You start digging in and you're like, okay, if I know I got to wind up, if I'm playing Vega and I know I got to charge this jump at a certain time because it's going to do that. Yeah, that's where the mechanics come into play. And that's what makes those games interesting, because that means you can get good at a character instead of everyone has a low kick and everyone has a high kick and everyone has a punch. Everyone has another punch. Like, that's really, it's lame. Like, that's just lame duck. There's no excitement on it. It just has to be different. And it's the same thing with, like, StarCraft. I love StarCraft to death. I'm terrible at that fucking game, but I love it. Because with a Protoss, you can warp units around anywhere on the map whenever you want. Anywhere. You can go across the map in 5 seconds if you want to. That shit's broken as hell. However, I have ships that can heal me while I'm like running across, and then I can use it as a taxi and like shuttle over there. And like, so I can get around and heal, and I have the strongest ground units in the game. So like, sure, you can teleport, but I'm going to kill your ass anyway. Like, that's balance, in my opinion. And like, the Zerg can just eat the entire map. Like, they just do their creep spread. Then if they're on creep, you run half as fast and they run 4 times as fast. So they just swarm you. So, but that's balance. Like, that, in my opinion, it's a game of checks and balances. So that's the fun of it, because now you're interested to watch. Now you're, you know, if every pro wrestler was exactly the same size, fine. Yeah. But like, what you listen to that crowd pop, you know, whenever Rey Mysterio hits a 619 on Brock Lesnar, place goes wild. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you tell stories that way. You tell stories through asymmetrical balance. There has to be an underdog. There has to be the tier list. I'm glad you brought that up. If you take a good character, or if you take a good player, like, okay, let's say a great player, and they're playing Dan, and you take an okay player, and they're playing like God tier Akuma.
Yeah.
How much do you want to bet that that better player is going to whoop their ass with Dan?
Yeah, because they put in the work. And bingo. The tier list, you know, first tier, like super tier character, doesn't have to work as much.
That's right. Like, they're used to results happening.
Boom, and they're done.
Yeah, they're done. They're used to the results. They're used to playing a strong character. They go after the people that are easy, quote-unquote, to play. But then if you're good with Dan, I think you could be damn near unstoppable. Because what a hard, like, you're fighting an uphill battle. And that's more impressive to me. Like, someone that's going to whoop Chun-Li's ass as Dan blows me away. I'm like, whoa! This guy knows some Street Fighter. Like, you know, it's impressive.
On my Street Fighter 4 days, whenever I fought a Dan, I was actually legit scared, because I don't know because I'm playing them online. I don't see their face. I don't see what they're doing. I don't know if they're trolling me or not.
Right.
Because they can, and because it's Dan, it kind of his main thing is taunting. So, and it, like his like his regular button attacks are not so great.
Yeah.
But when I play those guys, I'm literally frightened of them because they, like, if they beat me, they beat me with Dan.
Yeah.
Like, that's embarrassing. First of all, right? Because tier list wise, and I'm not so much of a tier list person, but like, I just have my favorite character, and I just wonder what they're on the list. But yeah, they beat me with Dan. That's embarrassing because like that they have so many disadvantages than I do as like a Guile player, because that's who I play basically is Guile. So like they're jumping around, they're taunting, they're yahooing, they're rolling, you know, doing like the non-fireballs, the same thing. Like when I watch these players play Dan and they're really good, like I have the most respect for them, because that is so much work.
So much work. And that's the deal is, you see a Dan and the uninitiated would be like, he's a terrible character. This guy sucks. But someone like you, who's been in the game a little bit, is like, oh, fuck. Like, this guy is about to be so good. He's going to whoop my ass with the worst character in the game.
Easy match, or this could be a terrible match that I will not save the replay, and I will delete this match, and I don't want anybody to see this.
To mention it, I take it to my grave. Yeah, like...
yeah, totally.
Oh, man. But that's true. It's true. Whenever you see someone make the actual underdog pick, you have that split second where you're like, are we about to see something crazy happen? Like, do they have a gambit up their sleeve with this terrible character?
Yeah.
Something's going to happen.
Totally.
Sometimes it's just a joke pick anyway, and then they end up being terrible with them, and then it's just funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's a nice self-defense thing. It's like, I suck.
Then I can breathe.
Yeah, right. but yeah, you just don't know. You don't know if someone's trolling you, if they're just making you have a laugh and then they're just gonna whoop your ass. But yeah, like I think buffs, because it's good for people to be broken. You know, it's just good for it's good for everything to be slightly too strong. I think that's fine. Like, it's whenever you start nerfing, you're gonna keep whittling away at this, and then because you nerf that, you gotta go back and nerf this other thing, and then that thing has to be nerfed, and then oh, look over there, we forgot about that one. And then at the end of the day, you don't have a video game anymore. You have like this whittled down husk of a, you know, it's just nothing has any meaning, or there's no power behind it, or, you know, and it's unfortunate. But
I agree.
Speaking of buffs, freaking, I don't know what they've been feeding those cats over at New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Okay.
But good God, that Wrestle Kingdom.
I'm excited.
So
you finished Wrestle Kingdom?
Yes. Watched it in its entirety.
Did you watch New Year's Dash afterwards?
I did not. I need to get it downloaded and do some New Japan World on that one. So I watched every little moment, including the Billy Gunn. The badass Billy Gunn being in there
The Rumble, man.
Yeah, yep. With a cheeseburger. Yep.
Cheeseburger.
I saw it.
He was a Team 2000, is what they're called.
Yep. And then a Big Milk. Big Milk Mikey Elgin. Saw that. So my review of Wrestle Kingdom is sort of the same review I would have for Wrestle Kingdom 10.
Okay.
Because the first half, like, not bad. I mean, even Cody Rhodes had a match.
Mm-hmm.
It was a match. Like, it was fine. You know, it was a little more physical than what he usually does, so it fit really well. And like, he got a good pop. And you know, you had, let's see, I'm trying to think of all the ones you had. Basically, where shit started getting serious was the Kushida match. Like,
Kushida. Okay.
Yeah. So that was,
the time bomb, right?
Yes. So that's where stuff started getting good. I can't remember what match it was. There is one match. I suggest you don't watch it at work, because, all they do the entire match is cuss. as loud and as often.
Is Ghetto in that match?
I think so.
Like, because I think he's known just the.
Oh, but it's so loud. And at a certain point, the commentators start giggling because, but, and it really is.
That's awesome.
It's like, ow, you fuck. Like that type of stuff. It's like just out of nowhere. And you know how Japanese crowds are. They're pretty silent.
Yeah.
It like echoes throughout the Tokyo Dome.
That's funny.
It's great. It's like it's like 15 minutes of just cursing. And it is kind of funny. After a certain level, it just becomes comical. Like you just stop paying attention to the match at that point and just see.
And that's the booker. That's funny.
And see like how he gets hit Three Stooges style. And then what he says.
Yeah.
What his rascally comeback is. But like. I will tell you the sleeper match of that show was Shibata versus Goto. Like,
oh, Shibata and Goto?
Those dudes worked, man. And like, awesome. I guess the storyline lately is Goto's not respected in New Japan because he's like lazy or something. I think that's...
That or like he keeps losing the big one.
Yeah, yeah. So, right. So people are like disappointed in him. And dude, he comes to play at Wrestle Kingdom. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like I'll put it this way. He hit Shibata harder than Ishii or Chris Hero. And that's not an exaggeration. There are a few of those. You know, Shibata does his, it's not a hope spot. It's like his fighting spirit spot where he sits down in like the.
Oh yeah. Like
dull seam.
He'll take a hit and then he'll get up and like, okay.
Right.
He'll brush off like his S or whatever.
Yes. Then, so
again,
he takes like 8 kicks from Goto in the chest. And the last one is such a hard penalty kick. Goto limps the rest of the match.
Oh, it's
like, it's bad, man. Like he runs and it's this like sickening thud. And Shibata, it moves his body. It slides him backwards. Like, and he's sitting down. So that's all like, that's all friction. That's all just a pure like wrecking ball running into a wall and sliding it. Oh, it was one of those things that you almost cringe at it because you're like, oh, he had to break a rib or something because those are some kicks that he was giving them. And like, but yeah, it wasn't the dramatic slap like the Ric Flair slaps or the Trent Seven or Nagata stuff. Like, this was just like he's hitting a guy in the chest over and over. And you're like, oh, but that to me that was the sleeper match of the night.
Okay.
Then you had okay, so then after that match, so you're like, whoa. Then you had Tanahashi versus Naito.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay.
And Naito's on another level, man. Like he's killing it. Naito's better than he's ever been. And Tanahashi, you know, he's kind of on his way out, and I think he knows that, and everyone knows it. But he still wrestles like an ace. I mean, he's still got it.
That's good, man.
But yeah, the Naito really showed up to play. Like he was on. He had the same type of star power that Kenny Omega did during the pay-per-view.
Naito?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They love Naito.
Naito was over. And so everything he did, every taunt, like he had that crowd. So it really amped up the match. I will say Tanahashi came out to a new song and it kind of sucks.
He did, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like called Go Ace. And. Mm-hmm. He comes out and then he's doing his hand signals and they're like, go ace over, over. And I was like, this is kind of shitty.
I've been hearing that the song's not that great. Yeah.
It's not a good one. It's not really it sounds like a retirement song. Like really it does. It's like, all right, this is his last one. He's just doing this for laughs and then he's gone. But then, the one the internet's gone crazy over, the absolute like, Thrill in Manila type stuff is the Kenny Omega Okada match. Like
Oh yeah,
I will say so. The match itself,
about that one.
Yeah, man, the match itself is like 49 minutes. The first 20 minutes is super slow, but I think that's smart because the crowd had to come down after Naito.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta build them up.
Yeah. Oh my God, they did. Like,
yeah.
Then the Young Bucks come out, and you're like, okay, there's gonna be some tomfoolery here with the Elite, you know. It's insane. Okay, so Kenny Omega had a great 2016. His G1 stuff, his Naito match, that whole tournament, like the ladder matches, all that stuff, just money. I think Kenny Omega was a man possessed at Wrestle Kingdom.
It's
one of those things that if we would have done our top five wrestling matches episode after Wrestle Kingdom, that would have been on my list.
That list would have been changed.
Yes. And I think you're going to feel the same way when you see it. Just like bear with it for the first 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the spot when it kicks into overdrive is there's a table outside the ring and Okada sends Kenny Omega through it, but it doesn't break properly.
Oh gosh.
And the crowd goes, yes, the crowd goes insane. Like, they go from like being kind of like applause, to like the table doesn't break right. All, you know, 90,000 people stand up. Oh, like people start flipping out. And from that point on, it's a riot. The whole thing is like,
they got them.
Yeah. They in a, like, it even got me. And like, I was super tired and sleepy. And I was like, but, and then that happened and I was like, oh man, that didn't work well. But then I saw the crowd reaction and I was like, oh man, here we go. And they wrestle for, another 35 minutes. And Kenny Omega has a big cut on his back. And I will say, they don't do a lot of false finishes, which is interesting, right? Because we're kind of used to that now. They do quite a few of them, but not, it's not like a WWE false finish WrestleMania match. It's it's where these builds happen over and over. Like there is one spot to where five reversals happen for like all five of their signature moves. So like the Rainmaker gets countered into the One Wing Angel, which gets countered into a Rolling Pile Driver, which gets countered into a, like, I don't know how they did it. It's this moment of like, who's going to hit their finisher. So they constantly build up to this thing.
Yeah.
Which is what you're supposed to do. It's supposed to be a finish. Like that move, you know, if you hit the Rainmaker, it's a done deal. Like you're done. That's how it's supposed to be. And it's kind of hard to explain, but whenever you see a match like that, it's that same feeling you get after we saw like Ibushi and Nakamura. Like you see it and you take a deep breath and you're like, what did we just watch?
Yeah.
It's that. And like you could tell because even on Twitter, Daniel Bryan was like, this is the best match I've ever seen. even the guys in the business.
Everybody was talking about that match. Like literally everybody was talking about that match.
Yeah.
That says something.
Right? Yes. Yeah. And
yeah.
It's even with all of that hype, because I watched it, you know, because we talked about it last week. Todd had watched it and said it was stellar. And then, but that was after we knew everybody on Twitter was talking about it and all the other pro wrestlers and stuff. Yeah. So I went in knowing that hype, like knowing that people are calling this the greatest professional wrestling match ever done ever.
Oh, and so that upped your expectation then?
Yeah. Well, it upped my expectations, but then the match exceeded it. Like,
that's good. It's
like ridiculous. Like, I can't fathom. They could both retire tomorrow and that's fine. Like where do you go from there? Like watching it, I'm like, how do you top something like this? Because like Dave Meltzer, did you see the rating Dave Meltzer got it?
Did he give it a 6?
He gave it a 6.
Nice. Because I still have yet to see that match, but with people talking about it, I would have to think that Dave Meltzer is the person that rates these matches. Mm-hmm. The max is a 5-star, that would be the match to give a 6.
Yeah, and he did. He gave it a 6. He said he only gave one other match in the history of pro wrestling a 6.
Or and the other match.
It was like Misawa versus Kawada or something for All Japan in like 1991.
Wow.
So yeah, 6 stars. And then someone asked him on Twitter, what's your favorite era of wrestling? And his response was 415 to 449 yesterday. Because that was the time that the match was happening. And I was like, holy shit. Like, what is this? Like, I have to see what this is. And yeah, it's worth all the hype. Like, I think on my top lists, it would probably be number like 4. Like, I still think the other matches that we talked about would.
But you adding Okada and Kenny would be at number 4?
Probably so.
Okay.
And then it would knock Itami and Nagata off. And then whatever my number 4 was, I can't remember what it was. It would knock that down to number 5.
Okay.
Because like, yeah, man, it's solid. Like it's real good. So go in with confidence knowing that yes, this has not been overhyped. It hasn't been like it's kind of that perfect storm of in-ring storytelling. Two guys that are kind of masters of their craft in regards to like, they understand crowd pacing because they started really slow. They started like the 2 or 3 minute, like looking at each other and like pacing around the ring and sort of like feeling each other out and kind of the strongman thing where you lock up and then you kind of shake it off. And a lot of that, kind of get the crowd to take it easy for a second after Naito and Tanahashi. And then slowly build that back in and slowly start going more and more. And then Young Bucks come out. People start buzzing a little bit like, oh, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Young Bucks pull out a table. Oh, what's going to happen? Then Okada flips it, puts Kenny through it. God, there was a move that they did from the outside onto the floor, like from the apron.
Okay.
I want to say it was like a spinning pile driver or something, like something like incredibly these guys could have died type of stuff. It was a chicken wing German suplex off the top rope. And Kenny Omega lands directly on the side of his neck, like. And in an interview afterwards, I think during the Dash thing, whenever he was interviewed for it, he said that there were a few times there I was worried I was about to die.
I read that.
That suplex was one of them, because the way he landed, that's how you know they are professionals. Any other person taking that bump, lifelong damage would have happened. I don't know if it was adrenaline. I don't know if it's just they're that skilled and they know exactly how to tilt their head the right way. Like, I don't know. But, and then they show it in slow motion and all of the announcers like gasp whenever they show it again in slow motion. Cause it looked like whenever Sabu broke his neck.
Oh, right. Okay.
In ECW, whenever Taz did the suplex through the table and Sabu landed wrong and it popped his neck out. Looked the same thing. And then they wrestled for 20 more minutes. And I was like, you've got to be out of your mind. Like, and you would think that something like a spot like that or the table not breaking or something, those would be the highlights of the match. The highlight of the match was the finish. I don't know how they did it. I don't know. Like, I'm still looking at it and I was like, how did they choreograph this perfectly? Like, there is no real fault with this match. Like, some people said it started a little too slow for their liking, which I can understand. But from like the ring psychology's part of it.
Dude, that's totally my taste.
Yeah, there's like there's no flaw. I can't find a flaw in that match.
I'm thinking of like this match, as I'm hearing it being described, and the two matches with Tanahashi and Okada.
Yes.
They have that Bret Michaels, Shawn Michaels thing going.
Yep.
Where it's like they're going slow. They're trying to check each other out.
Yep.
And then it starts picking up the pace. And then they get to reversal finishers and like doing each other's finishers.
Mm-hmm.
And like, dude, that's my jam.
Oh, right, then you're gonna freak out at this match.
That's my jam. I love those.
Like, I want to watch it again. Like, I downloaded it and I was like, I'm gonna watch this probably once a week for a year.
Yeah.
But I think what really put it over, more so than the in-ring work and everything that they've done, and is the way they built it. Is mm-hmm. Okada, because the nice thing is the one I got from New Japan, it's from it has the English commentary, but all of the mm-hmm. promo packages are in pure Japanese. There's not any English on it as far as the promo, but I completely understood this entire promo package, and mm-hmm. it was Okada wants to secure the sanctity of New Japan Pro Wrestling for Japanese audiences. That's his mm-hmm. entire thing. He's like, I'm your champion. New Japan stays in Japan, and I'm the guy.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega is like, you think too small, and that's going to be your downfall. I'm going to take mm-hmm. this global. I'm going to change the world. I'm the best gaijin on the planet. You're going to wish mm-hmm. you were as good as me. Like, and that's kind of what's happening with New Japan right now, is they're starting to dabble a little bit with Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I had Kenny winning before the pay-per-view.
Yeah, me too. That was my favorite. I was like, yeah, they're going to make him the international sensation. They're going to want to draw mm-hmm. as many eyes as possible onto the product. And I think they're still doing that.
Yeah, being worldly now, especially moving forward.
Yeah, and because New Japan World, you can get it anywhere in the world. I believe
their G1 is going to be at LA.
Yep, it sure is.
G1 Climax. That's big news.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So yeah, the company's in a much different place than it was even like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, we saw the stuff with the video games. Like, they have characters in Yakuza. You know, they got Tekken. Rainmaker stuff for King and Tekken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're making a push, man. Like, they're becoming part of pulp culture, and that was the stakes. Okada was very much, I'm going to keep this as pure of a wrestling art form as possible. And then Kenny Omega's like, you're outdated, old man, even though they're both like 30. I don't even think Okada's even 30 yet. I think he's like 28, which...
Oh, dude. Yeah. That's great.
Jeez. So that was the build. It's like, you have someone who's protecting the sanctity of New Japan Pro Wrestling versus somebody who wants to make it a global juggernaut. And that fed into the crowd reaction. It fed into everything. So yeah, overall the pay-per-view, super solid. Those last four matches are all must-watch matches. Like, no quote. You could skip the first half of Wrestle Kingdom and be totally fine. Because that was like a 5.5 hour long show.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so long.
But I won't, because I want to see what Ryusuke Taguchi will do.
Yeah.
that's kind of falling into our question, but like, that he is my guilty pleasure.
Yeah, Ryusuke sure.
Taguchi.
Mine is a
funky weapon.
Yeah. Mine is what's his name? Yoshihashi?
Yoshihashi. Yeah, Yoshihashi is good. I have a bunch, actually. Ryusuke Taguchi, Toru Yano. Me and Prince would love that guy, because we just can't figure out what the deal is with this pan. there was one more. I had one more. Honma, the guy that does the headbutt.
Yes,
all the time.
Dude, him, Honma's him. Fantastic.
I love those three. Yeah, I love those three.
Ooh, what we got to think of? Oh, so okay, this is a thing for next week, and I got to write this down, and you got to remind me. We got to pick our faction. So our good pals over at Old School Wrestling, the OSW Review, world famous guys, they have factions of people called their boys. Like, perfect example, someone that's like, oh, it's my boy, Steve Blackman. Like, so the rules for picking your stable of boys, one, they all kind of have to suck. Like, you see what I'm saying? They have to be endearing just to you, not really to anyone else.
Yeah.
Maybe so, because I heard Steve Blackman and I burst out laughing. Like, so yeah, that exact reaction has to happen for your... It's like our fantasy draft of kind of shitty pro wrestlers.
Yeah.
But they're our boys. Okay. Like, we're just, it's our boys. Good. You know what I'm saying? But we can pick like four or five.
All right.
Four or five. And listeners out there, we want to hear what your stables are. Whatever your faction
Todd,
is.
Todd, I want to hear who your boys are.
You better come at me with Doink. You better come at me with
New Jack.
Oh, Jesus. Don't come at anyone with New Jack. he'll kill you. But yeah, so Wrestle Kingdom, totally, totally worth it. So yeah, we're going to get into Todd's question. I think this is going to, we're at about an hour and 6 minutes now.
Yeah.
This will last us a good 20 minutes. Easy.
Yeah.
So do you have the question right in front of you?
I can get it. But I believe what his question was, let me see. All the retweeting I do. It's already lost. Okay. Todd asks, twitter.com/ToddEVF, any films you consider a guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure film.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about this.
Go ahead first.
Okay. Because it's tricky, right? Like, when you think guilty pleasure, okay, so my definition of guilty pleasure is a movie that you know sucks, but you like it anyway.
Yeah.
Is that about right? Like,
yeah.
Just to establish the rule of what it is. I know it's kind of a common phrase, but just for what our definition of it is. A movie that we know sucks, but we like it anyway. I think my go-to is Grandma's Boy. The Adam Sandler movie.
Grandma's Boy.
With like Nick Swardson and Jonah Hill. And they make video games.
Yeah.
It's such a shitty movie. But I laugh every time.
When that movie came out, I was a game tester. And that was the game tester's national anthem. It was Grandma's Boy.
Dude. Like, apparently, a lot of that movie, they just riffed the lines. Like, it was all improv. They just went off script and just filmed it. And I can appreciate that. Like, some of those are pretty good comebacks. And, like, there is just some outrageousness in that movie that's just like Maury Povich too hot for TV Jerry Springer shit, but like that movie's so shitty, but I don't know why I love it. I do.
Yeah. Oh man.
So do you have one? You have, because I think I have a few, but
I do. Okay. Let me see. Oh, what are your others?
Well, and it was funny because I was talking, you know, with Brittany, Britt, big shout out for Britt. And she has a genuine love for like the 90s, early 2000s slasher films. So like anything Freddy, anything Chucky. You know what I mean? But like at a certain level, because I was talking with her about it, and I was like, you know, there's actually parts of like genuine quality in these things. Like, yeah, they're schlock and they're kind of hokey, but like, I think they're actually a step above guilty pleasure. Like, I think you shouldn't be ashamed that you liked the Jason movie. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain, like, okay, so like Jason Goes to Hell, terrible. Jason X, dreadful. Halloween H2O, garbage. But like Halloween 1, genuine classic. Child's Play 1, we did that video review over it. Genuine classic.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So where does that line fall? Yeah, it's silly. We're all in on the joke. But is it literally a guilty pleasure? Because it's actually, is it a guilty pleasure if the movie's actually good? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Is that where it kind of falls apart? Or does that just add to it? Or I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of maybe guilty pleasure in regards to like makes you weep like a baby would be The Green Mile.
The Green Mile.
Oh, man. Oh, movie tears me up every time.
Oh,
John Coffey.
Oh, dude.
You left us too soon.
Yeah, right. Dude. Let me see. There's one out there that I haven't seen, but I would think it would be my guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Would be Leprechaun in the Hood.
Oh shit.
You know the horror Leprechaun series, right? Yeah. He went to the hood. And I had to see that. I had to see that one. I think I'm recommending me to go watch that. There's any way
yes,
I can
okay.
watch that.
Ever all of us here at Brothering Around, including the person that just said it, recommends that Marco go watch
I'm
Leprechaun.
I'm
going
to recommend myself to go watch
For
Leprechaun
sure.
in the Hood.
I'll accept that. Absolutely. Because yeah. I want to hear all about it. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, another one. One of my favorite films, and it's so dumb. I think you've seen it. I think so. Is Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Yeah. Kung
Pao, dude,
man.
That movie.
Kung Pao is hilarious.
I'm bleeding, making me the victor.
Yeah.
I can still, I haven't seen that movie. I haven't seen that movie in 5-6 years, and I can still quote almost the entire thing.
It's been like double digit years, I think, since I've seen that movie.
That's a lot of nuts.
Yeah.
Chicken go cluck cluck, cow go moo. Want to be an animal? How about you?
Oh, man. Kung Pao.
Kung Pao, dude.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to try to watch that one too. Okay. My guilty pleasure, it makes sense because I'm a Street Fighter person, is Street Fighter the movie.
Oh, yeah, man. That live action movie.
Yeah, man. Oh, Raul Julia.
That's the stuff right there.
That's the epitome of what Bison would be in real life. And then Guile. Just Van Damme Guile, man.
That's it, man. Who else?
Like, what more can you say about Van Damme Guile?
Who else could you get to play Guile but freaking Jean-Claude Van Damme?
American Guile.
Yeah, right. Yeah, pure blood American. That pure blood stallion Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Right.
As dude. American as they get.
kicks Bison's ass. That son of a bitch, Bison's ass so hard.
That son
the
of
next
a bitch.
Bison wannabe. Gonna feel it. Dude, that's the one, hands down. Street Fighter in the movie.
That's good, man. That's a good pick. That's like a deep cut. You know what I mean? That's one of those that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I have one that crosses the lines where, like, no, I really like it. It's Starship Troopers.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Starship Troopers. Oh, man, dude. That's like a darling to me.
Yeah. It, like, people whenever, on the outside might be like, this shit's a little janky. But then you sit them down and you have them watch it. And then afterwards, they become a fan. They're like, oh, yeah, Starship Troopers is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And whenever it's on, like on TV, I'll watch it. My wife's seen me watch it all the time. Like, you're watching it again? Well, yeah. Johnny Rico has to learn how to you know how to be a Marine, and I would like to know more.
Yeah.
Right? It's RoboCop and all that stuff, man. That's
right. Yeah, you gotta get the right playbooks. You know.
Yeah, man.
That's right.
That future football they were playing, where you can flip like 10 feet over and do some kung fu on them.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely. Let's see. More guilty pleasure movies. I know there's probably going to be one or two big ones that we're both missing. Like, okay, we're going to slap our forehead and be like, why didn't we say
like, blah, that's blah, right.
Oh, man.
Terrace House is right now is a guilty pleasure because nobody knows about it yet.
Yeah, true. Once it goes on like the Today Show or something,
and soccer
moms everywhere know about Terrace House.
And they're talking about it. Yeah. Then, right now, Terrace House is a guilty pleasure.
Sure. Absolutely.
Trying to think. What else?
Because I'm trying to go through stuff that I've seen and I liked despite knowing I shouldn't like it. You know what I mean? Like, here's a thing clearly not made for me, but screw it. You know, fuck it, YOLO.
Yeah. And, right. Let's see. Yeah, a lot of the movies I'm thinking about, like, I like them. But I think they're generally liked. But I don't know, like, they cross that blurred line of a guilty pleasure. Like, I'm thinking, like, Blade as one.
Yeah, and, I was thinking of, like, Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. You know?
You know what? Yeah. That's not my favorite one. But, yeah, that would be a guilty pleasure.
It has enough
literally schlock. None of the no Paul Walker, no Tyrese, no.
No, it's just everybody else is different.
Yeah, little Bow Wow and like.
Yeah, they had Paul Walker replica.
Yeah. Guy. Country Walker. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
He became the Drift King of Japan. And then. you had to look up what, because I heard about this on Super Bad's Friends. The Japanese titles for the Fast and Furious movies. Because I hear they're video game as shit. Like,
really? The Japanese titles for video Fast and Furious? Let me look these up real quick.
Yeah, go look it up. Start from one and work your way up.
Furious. Okay, so... So here we go. Okay, so, oh God. So I have this full list. Okay, so I'll go down, and this is in sequential order.
You're right. Oh, Fast and Furious? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, the Fast and the Furious was called Wild Speed. Too Fast, Too Furious was called Wild Speed X2. Yeah. The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift was called Wild Speed X3 Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift.
Oh, man. Fast and Furious was called Wild Speed Max in all capital letters.
Yeah, Maxa.
Fast 5 was Wild Speed Mega Maxa. Oh, man.
Excited, right?
Fast and Furious 6 was called Wild Speed Euro Mission.
Because
they're in the UK, I guess.
Because they're in the UK, man.
Oh, shit. And Furious 7 was called Wild Speed Sky Mission.
Sky Mission.
Because they parachuted out of the cars.
They did. Dude. So, like, Fate of the Furious, they're in ice.
Oh, no.
So it's funny, like, ice mission or, like...
Wild Speed Polar
Submarine
escape.
Mission.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a fucking video game ass title.
It's great.
It's funny. It's hilarious.
Euro
Sky
Mission.
Sky Mission. Get that shit out of here.
Right. Wild Speed. Maxu.
Mega Maxu. Oh, man.
Oh. Dude. That's so fantastic.
Dude, like, yeah. I have to look it up now. I have to look up any well-known movies, I need to look up like the Japanese title now.
Oh, sure.
Because I want to know. I want to know.
So I was thinking, and this is cutting deep. This is getting a little personal here at the end of episode 14 at Brothering Around. Okay. So Marco, you've been married a while. You know the drill. You gotta watch some movies with your lady that your lady might be into. Right. Maybe not your cup of tea.
Maybe not.
maybe not your preferred form of entertainment. Right. Has there been any of those movies that you came away genuinely liking? Like
oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah, right. Like, you're like,
oh. Let's see. Oh, gosh. Let's see. Whatever J-Lo movies there were, like, she is really into those. And like
Wedding Planner type stuff?
Yeah, Wedding Planner. And I'm like, it's not too bad. Yeah. that's as far as I can get. Yeah.
That's sort of, yeah. Bad. Okay. Okay. You just noises come out of your mouth. Like,
I can't even give you words. Like, oh, okay. All right. Yeah. 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 The most you'll get is like a not bad, right? After all the noises.
The little hand move where you tilt it back and forth a little bit.
That's another character that we're going to make.
We need to name him. That's going to be our, every time we do a game review, it just has to be that character. It's like a score comes up like 7.4 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta measure it on the decibel because how loud it gets. How middling is this game?
Now we're gonna like lose our voice tomorrow because we're just making these weird like squeaking noises. Oh man.
Audible try.com.
We need to take these to like Saturday Night Live. This could be a full bit, man. Oh man. Oh, I'm trying to think of any of the like chick flicks.
Oh yeah. What chick movies that you lovingly watched? Because the girlfriend lovingly asked you to watch it.
I'm trying to actually think back because I think one of my benefits is that, you know, she really likes like the slasher movies. Like she would prefer to watch one of those more so than the sappy Nicholas Sparks stuff. I'm trying to think back on the last one we maybe would have watched. That like was her pick that I came away. Okay, there's actually one, and genuinely, it's not a guilty pleasure. This is actually like a really freaking good movie. So I do suggest you go watch it. Okay. And it's not even really a chick flick. It may seem like it at first, but it's based off a book, a Jonathan Tropper book, but it's called "This Is Where I Leave You," and it has like Tina Fey and Jason Bateman, and it has dude that played Kylo Ren, Adam Driver, I think.
Who's that?
The guy that played Kylo Ren, Adam Driver, I think.
Okay.
So he plays like the shitty, like it plays the shitty younger brother, and like, but it's a comedy, but it's like a dark comedy because it's about
their dad died, right?
Yes, and they have to
get along for the weekend or something.
Yep.
Okay. I remember that one now.
Dude, it's good.
I didn't watch it. Yeah.
Very good movie. Very good movie. Okay. And like a genuinely solid, like I would give it an A, like one of those movies. Yeah. Like I will definitely watch that again. So yeah, I kind of luck out in that regard. Like very rarely do I have to watch some like Mandy Moore shit.
Right.
I don't even know the last time she was in a movie. I just remember that one Mandy Moore movie.
She just disappeared because she was like, fuck it. Like your girlfriend, like the wife is like, she'll try to persuade me to watch like a chick flick or whatever. But like, she's always down to watch like Dodgeball with me or something.
Yeah.
It's so the dumb good stuff. Like, see, that's why we're married.
That's exactly. That's how you know it's going to work.
Watch the dumb stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you feel good watching it with them because you know that they appreciate it in the same dumb way you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Either that or like, oh, you like this so much.
Right, yeah. Have you done this where have you misjudged a thing before and you're like, you're gonna love it, and then you watch it and it's just a fucking brick wall, man. You look over and not having it at all,
and like, I'm so sorry, we can stop this.
Yeah, it's like when I had Brittany watch Audition. This shit's brutal. She was like, why did you make me watch this? I'm sorry. But the way I saw it, it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, she's a huge horror movie fan. I was like, okay, I want you to see this before someone ruins it for you. Like, you got to watch Audition. Yeah. You got to. She liked Old Boy, but she thought it was really weird. And she was like, why do you like this? And I was like, that's a good question.
Ask you that question.
Yeah, she did.
Well, so that's come a right good out. Question.
Yeah, very good question. But yeah, it's like stuff like that. Like sometimes I'll misjudge it, like be way off. Mm-hmm. Like you'll think this is hilarious, and then I'll look over and she's just like,
"It's terrible. What's wrong with you?"
Slowly, like this is judging the worst thing I've ever seen. You're an animal.
Oh man.
And I just turn into Marvin, and it makes it okay. Hey, yeah, see.
What's
the moving picture? The moving picture show. Well, go.
The moving talkies.
Yeah, well, go see them. They have color now.
Oh, dude.
The jazz singer. We'll go see it for the fifth time. That's an old cut, man. If you guys get that reference, shit.
Oh, dude.
But yeah, this has been the Impression Cast, man. Yeah. We started with our terrible impression of a terrible human being in Bill Cosby.
Vince Russo and Bill Cosby.
But
we created the middling guy just now.
Yeah.
You can go Christopher Walken, or you know, you can go wherever you can go with that guy, that character.
You're right. That's true.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man. But that's episode number 14.
Yeah.
Of Brothering Around.
Episode 14 in the bag.
Absolutely. It's a done deal. That's a wrap. But yeah, guys, go check out comedyhobo.com. We got all that Game of the Year content up. Definitely go check out Nerd in the Bay on YouTube at youtube.com/nerdinthebay. You got some videos up there, my friend. You got...
You're
putting out new intros. Yeah,
my plate is clean now, so I can make new videos.
That's awesome, man. Like, you've been about it, man. Over the past few weeks, you put up like 6 or 7 videos.
Yeah, man. You got to start this year out strong, man.
That's right, man. And speaking of, it's funny. I deleted all the footage needed for the for the Game of the Year video after I got done editing it. And it cleared off like 800 gigs off my hard drive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So. Okay. That's some footage. But hey, once again, that means we get to start from square one. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking there may pretty soon, spoiler alert, maybe a new episode of West versus Backlog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe a comeback, a little comeback action.
There you go.
On that way. But yeah. So you got to go watch Leprechaun in the Hood.
Leprechaun in the Hood.
You got to go see that one. Remember those movies from back in the day, like Don't Drink Your Juice in South Central, Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking South your Central juice in the Hood.
Juice in the Hood, yeah.
Yep. There's that. There was
that
Tu Wong Fu. Okay, Tu Wong Fu is another guilty pleasure movie.
When they're all drag queen, right?
That's right, man. It's John Leguizamo and Wesley Snipes. Who's the third person?
There's somebody else. Yeah, I forgot who was the other person, but yeah.
Just awesome. Awesome movie. It's a classic. And then you go... But like Coming to America is just a good movie. Like, it's not even a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's just a... Randy Watson.
Sexual chocolate.
Sexual chocolate. Boy. He's been my pastor since I've been a small boy. That boy good. Yeah, good and
that
terrible.
That boy good. I mean, person that... Personate that movie all the time.
This is great, man. Oh, now we got to do Coming to America. We got to learn all these characters. Do those too.
When Princeton comes on, Princeton came.
That boy get it.
That's like on the money. Oh, that's perfect. Oh, but that's our time, guys. Hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com/comedyhobo, twitter.com/MarcoPolo177. Use the hashtag BrotherInAround to ask us anything for any future episodes. And also, check out our audibletrial.com/BrotherInAround. Get yourself that free audiobook, 30-day free trial of audible.com. But that's it, man. Episode 14, in the bag. We'll see you guys next week. Bag. Peace.
Peace, guys.
How was the episode?
Not bad.